Hello and namaste. My name is Samir Kalra, Managing Director with the Hindu American Foundation. We're joined today by Benjamin Baird, Director of MEF Action on our That's So Hindu podcast. MEF Action is a project of the Middle East Forum, a think tank founded in 1994 that promotes American interests in the Middle East and protects Western values from Middle Eastern threats. Benjamin researches Islamist activity in Washington, D.C. and state capitals across the country, organizes to counter these efforts, and educates the public, the media, and politicians on the threat posed by Islamist involvement in politics. He is a decorated U.S. Army infantry veteran and frequent contributor to the Investigative Project on Terrorism, The Daily Caller, and other prominent media outlets. Against the backdrop of recent elections in Pakistan, Benjamin has authored an investigative report on New York City Mayor Eric Adams' ties to members of Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf political party, the Islamist party founded by former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, who is currently in jail on corruption and other charges. We're pleased to have Benjamin on the podcast to talk about this new report and why all Americans, including Hindu Americans, should be very concerned about its findings. Welcome, Benjamin. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Samir, thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So, of course, I think for those that follow New York City politics, scandals are nothing new with the New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Last year, he was tied to a report showing his campaign reportedly received illegal donations from individuals tied to the Turkish government. Your research has taken his connections to foreign parties in a different direction, of course, and foreign influence operations aimed at City Hall, directly tied to the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf Islamist political party. And, you know, reading that report, which was an excellent, well-documented research report on those ties, really revealed some disturbing information. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found more generally, and then we can delve into some more details?
Sure, yeah. This is a story, I think, about Eric Adams, who is really exceptionally close with the immigrant community in New York City. He's found it to be politically expedient to forge very strong relations with various immigrants in New York. You know, he doesn't have his favorite. He will have the Pakistanis or the Indians or Mexico. He reaches out to all takers who will have him. And that, I think, accounts for a lot of his political power. But at the same time, he doesn't always understand the communities that he is consorting with. And this has opened him up to foreign political interference, as you say. He's already under fire for his charges to China and Turkey. But the media really isn't talking about his ties to PTI, that is the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf that you mentioned earlier. Which is really just a cult-like political party. It is very popular among the Pakistani diaspora community, along with its permanent lifetime chairman, Imran Khan, who's currently in jail under corruption charges and leaking state secrets in Pakistan. But PTI here in the U.S. is a registered foreign agent. And if you look at Eric Adams, and this is what our report detailed, he's very close to several Pakistani proxy organizations, PTI proxy organizations that appear to be Pakistani community groups, but are in fact staffed and led by members of PTI New York and PTI USA. This has involved, they've supported his campaigns and held fundraisers for him. And he, in turn, has met with this community on several occasions, legitimized them, and held them up kind of as the intermediaries, as the spokespersons for the local New York Pakistani community. And of course, this is a problem once you delve into what PTI stands for and what it means.
You know, when you were talking about the connections with some of these organizations, you know, I think from what I read, there's two parallel tracks here. One, there's these quote unquote community organizations that have ties to the PTI. And then there's actually ties to the official PTI USA branch, which as you mentioned, is a foreign registered agent. Could you talk a little bit about how are these connections, established? How did these networks function? And what have actually been the relationships with between Eric Adams and these groups?
Right. So you have in the United States a large overarching PTI USA, it's called. And there's really three centers of power for PTI here in the United States, out in California. And we've written about this. PTI has a very robust membership, but they are also very close to law enforcement agencies. That's sort of their entrance into the political arena in California is by supporting the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and the LAPD. They're very entrenched in those two law enforcement organizations, which is really a different kind of lobbying that you don't see too much. But they've taken sheriffs over to Pakistan, for instance, on sort of PR trips that they've arranged. In Houston, you have something of a capital for PTI in the United States. This group was instrumental in trying to obstruct the Howdy Modi visit from India's president years ago. Prime Minister. And in New York, you have PTI groups, PTI New York and PTI New Jersey. These groups have gotten close to Eric Adams over the years. Very specifically, I can talk about what happened in August, which is when Eric Adams met on at least five occasions with either PTI members or their proxy groups. The first occasion was a flag-raising ceremony on August 14th of last year. What made this event sort of interesting is that he raised the flag next to Masood Khan. And some of our listeners may be familiar with Masood Khan. He's been called the terror ambassador. He's Pakistan's ambassador to the United States. When he was appointed, it caused some outrage from Congress members, one of which called him a bona fide terrorist sympathizer. Congress did not want him appointed, and there were several members that wrote letters to the Biden administration trying to stop his appointment. But standing next to Masood Khan, he raised the flag. This is in Bowling Green Park, the Wall Street section of Manhattan. They raised the flags together and gave a speech. And then later on, just a couple weeks later, he actually appeared at two separate parades honoring Pakistani Independence Day. At one of these parades, he could be seen standing on stage next to senior PTI New York officials. He also appeared at another local parade. There were several PTI members there and their proxies. So those were three events in just a short order. And then in September, Eric Adams actually held a Pakistani round table for the first time. And what's interesting about this meeting is that not only were there quite a few PTI officials there, many who have donated to Adams' campaign, but Adams at the time was supposed to be meeting with President Biden on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. They were bickering at the time over the migrant crisis in New York. So instead of meeting with the president of the United States, he decided to meet with PTI officials. In exchange for all of this access to the mayor, they have supported his campaign. If you go all the way back to 2015, when I believe he may have ran for mayor for the first time then, it was 2017, but he was campaigning at the time. If you look back to that time period, there's photos of him meeting with PTI officials, including people who, by the way, later went back to Pakistan and ran for PTI office there. But things really heated up and the support grew during the last election, which he won for mayor. He had the support of quite a few PTI officials. They held several fundraisers for him. One of his closest contacts in the PTI community in New York was a man by the name of Sam Abrar Khan. He was a general contractor who was noted for in 2019 giving a speech where he kind of agitated the crowd and tried to tell people to wage jihad against India. He didn't pay much of a political price for that, and he remained having access not only to Adams, but other public officials. He did pass away last year, but the torch has been handed on to other PTI officials who have supported Adams. They held several fundraisers for him, as I said, in 2021, and he would visit and give speeches. There was even one speech he gave that I think is quite remarkable. There's a group called the Pakistani American Skilled Women's Organization, and it is a PTI proxy group because it holds many of its events on the sidelines of other PTI events, and its leader can be seen consorting with PTI officials on her Facebook page. It's really everywhere. But this woman, the leader of PASWO, as it's called, is a member of the Adams administration. She is the outreach director to Muslim women for Adams. But she also runs this group called PASWO. And when Eric Adams was running for office, she had him address her group. And she sat there and said, "We are voting for Eric Adams, and this is why." And she basically gave an endorsement through her organization for Eric Adams. Well, if you're familiar with 501c3 laws, that's illegal. You can't do that. You know, that's considered political activities. Unfortunately, our charitable IRS laws aren't very well managed in this country. They aren't upheld as they should be. So nothing happened from this, and there was very little interest when I brought it to the attention of different officials in New York. But nevertheless, she said this, and Eric Adams then took the stage where he talked about how after 9/11, Muslim women were coming to him to say, "Hey, our loved ones are going to jail on terrorism charges. Can you help us?" And he said, "I took that and I went and I got them out of prison." So they basically asked him to intervene in cases involving terrorism to use his political influence. Whether or not it worked, I'm not sure, but it is alarming. So, you know, he's had these ties with PTI, and in general, the Pakistani community tends to support Eric Adams. There's a Facebook page called Pakistanis for Eric Adams that has 40,000 followers. But if you look at it, it's managed by PTI officials. And most of the people who frequent the fan page tend to be members of PTI.
Yeah, it's quite disturbing to see the extent of these connections. And I think you mentioned in the report that at least in recently, there have been at least 14 PTI affiliated contributions to Adams' mayoral campaign. And I'm sure a lot of other things that are going through other organizations, et cetera. You know, one of the things I wanted to just follow up on when you mentioned, I think one of the former heads of the PTI was running a construction company or was a general contractor. Mm-hmm. Is that, and you mentioned kind of the proxy organization. I think there's also a contractors association, or there's some real connection in terms of the construction industry in New York City that have a lot of PTI officials involved in that industry and that are connected to Mayor Adams. So hoping you could talk a little bit more about that and maybe the implications on contracts for city projects and others and where that and how that may be problematic.
Right. That's a great question. And that really cuts to the heart of this issue. If you look at what happened to Eric Adams and his other scandals, there was a straw donor scheme that happened over the summer. I believe you referenced this, but these several of the construction workers involved in that were Pakistani business owners who happened to be contractors. And a straw donor scheme is when you make donations in the name of somebody else. And what they would do is they take their family members or members of their company, and they would give small donations to Eric Adams. Those small donations actually blow up to be quite large and influential because of New York City's matching funds program. It's something that several cities in recent years have adopted. It's meant to root out special interests and local politics. But what it says is if somebody gives a $400 donation, the city will come in and match it with $2,000. That number, I don't know if it's exact, but it's very close to those, that kind of matching. You know, if they get $500, it's $19 that the city gives, and so on. So there's a lot of incentive to receive small dollar donations that the city will match. And so they would take 10, 15 people from their companies and have them appear to donate to Eric Adams. Now, when election officials and media would call these individuals, they'd say, hey, I see you donated $400 to Eric Adams on this date. And they'd say, oh, no, I never did anything like that. So fast forward a bit, and Eric Adams was under investigation for his relationships with the Turkish community. But here again, there were local general contractors involved. There's a group called KSK Construction, and the government is currently investigating some of the donations that came from KSK members or employees, I should say. There were quite a few of them that gave money. And once again, when media tried to contact and ask them, hey, did you donate? They would say no. There was another question of whether or not some of them were authorized to be bundlers. That is, people who are allowed to collect money from anonymous donors and give one big donation. It's a common practice. It's something you see even in presidential politics, where I think Joe Biden, you know, had several hundred bundlers who gave to his campaign. But there's questions if this KSK Construction was authorized to be doing that when they held a fundraiser for him. Now, people question then, why would KSK want to buy influence with Eric Adams? Well, it was during the campaign. He'd already won the mayoral primary. And in New York City, if you are a Democrat and you win the mayoral primary, you are all but guaranteed to be the next mayor of New York City. He received a call from KSK that said, hey, we've built a giant skyscraper in the city. I believe they called it Turkish House or Turkin House. And it was to house the embassy, basically, and Turkish Turkish foreign students studying here in the U.S. The problem was, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, was going to be visiting New York City in the near future. And this building wasn't ready. It wasn't up to code. There were many fire violation codes that it had. So Eric Adams put in a call to the police chief and said, what can you do to make sure that this is done in time for the presidential visit? Now, it was done in time for the presidential visit. Whether they overlooked any safety precautions that they normally take, it isn't clear at this moment, but he used his influence. And was that influence bought in any way is a good question. Now, you look at PTI. There were several individuals who happened to be contractors, just like Sam Khan. He was the head of a group called the Asian Society of Engineers, Architects, and Contractors that held a fundraiser for Eric Adams. There were seven other members who I identified as belonging to PTI who own their own construction companies and who donated quite a bit to Eric Adams. And in some cases, these donations follow very closely what we've seen from straw donor campaigns, where there are several small level donations from employees that work for them on the same day, you know, like $500 or $600 donations. I brought this information to the Manhattan Attorney General's office. They were very interested in it. However, they couldn't do much about it. It wasn't the sort of actionable intelligence that they needed to be able to dig deeper into the problem. So unfortunately, they weren't able to take a look really at what's happening here. In the case of the straw donor scheme over the summer, for instance, they had they were eavesdropping. They had wiretaps that allowed them to figure out what exactly was going on. And in this case, they need a little bit more. But all the fingerprints are there of, I think, a foreign influence campaign that is targeting Eric Adams.
Yeah, that's quite fascinating. And kind of the parallels in what we saw with the Turkish construction industry or, you know, heavily dominated industry, and now the Pakistani one and those connections that are there. You know, I'm wondering, just to kind of go back on something that you had mentioned earlier, you know, when you mentioned one of these women, Pakistani women's organizations that is a proxy for the PTI and their endorsement, which of course is a violation of 501c3 IRS rules, where any organization that's a 501c3 can't either endorse or oppose a public official or anybody that's a candidate for public office. Mm-hmm. The other, I think, main one law that's, you know, involved here and which you also referenced was FARA, or the Foreign Agent Registration Act. And, you know, if the PTI is officially registered, or PTI USA is officially registered as a foreign agent, what, I guess, is the danger? If you could talk a little bit more about the dangerous implications that even if it is a registered organization, having those connections and directly, whether through its own members or as a FARA registered group or through its proxy that are 501c3s, you know, that danger of having a FARA registered group, having such close and intimate access to one of the most powerful politicians in America.
You know, FARA has come into prominence again, I think, following the 2016 election with Russian interference in our election. And since then, you've seen some enforcement go on. And eventually, President Trump created a FARA unit that was able to look at groups in the United States that are controlled by a foreign power, and to identify them as such and make them register. This includes businesses, media as well, but it certainly applies to nonprofit or PR or lobbyists. If they're working for a foreign agenda, then people need to know about it. If they're media, then the broader public needs to know, like, hey, this is the state-run media establishment. If they're an organization, then lawmakers especially need to know, look, this is a group that represents the interests of a foreign political party. Oftentimes, FARA applies to smaller groups. They don't, it's not often you'll see a political party here in the United States as a foreign one and registered. Actually, I shouldn't say it's not often, but it's not as common as seeing groups that happen to be companies or organizations. And it's a great threat, and it's something that I think requires much more robust enforcement. Fair as it stands right now, there's many organizations that probably deserve to be called out as foreign agents and to be designated as such that are not. For instance, Al Jazeera, they were actually told their online platform called AJ Plus was supposed to register as a foreign agent during the last year of the Trump administration. They were asked to do so, and Al Jazeera essentially said, no, we're not foreign agents. And so, no, we are not going to register. And nothing has happened to them. And this is even now when we know that Al Jazeera sent some of its reporters were part of the October 7th attacks in Israel. So there are enforcement problems with it. And it's made much more difficult, I think, when you have the involvement of proxy organizations. There are many of these in the United States that represent many foreign Islamist influence groups. You have Turkish groups here in the U.S., such as Turkish American National Steering Committee, which is run by Erdogan's cousin, but is there to advance the interests of the AK party, the AKP. And, you know, they don't have to register because they claim instead to be supporting the broader community. We're here for Turkish American interests, not for the AKP. And if they say that, they generally do not have to register, even when they've been investigated by the FBI for involvement in what is believed to be foreign influence. That is certainly the case for PTI and its many proxy organizations. You know, when they don't have to register, it creates the appearance that The lawmaker even thinks that they're acting on behalf of the local community when they're not. They're supporting foreign interests. So we need to do a much better job of enforcing FARA. And for those who even are registered, the government needs to do more to watch and monitor their activities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those two pieces that you mentioned, there's the enforcement of registrations, but then also if you know an organization is a FARA registered group, you know, how should you be dealing and conducting business with them and what should you be doing? And that definitely requires more scrutiny. Speaking of FARA, and I think something that I found really interesting in your report that many of our listeners would probably remember the name, but some of the individuals, the PTI individuals with ties to a person that was arrested under FARA, Ghulam Nabi Fai, who is a Kashmiri separatist, but was an asset of the Pakistani Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, and that was indicted and convicted of illegally spying under FARA and served some jail time as well. He's out now. But I think you showed a tie as well between some of the PTI officials and Ghulam Nabi Fai in the report. So I think that was a really interesting where we see this kind of these circles kind of coinciding in these individuals that have, you know, similar political agendas kind of coming together and that connection. So I found that really fascinating. One other thing that I wanted to kind of just get into a little bit was that how do you distinguish as a politician, let's say, you know, you could say Eric Adams, or even I know you had written about politicians in Southern California, between those that are really well-meaning organizations within the community versus those that have more nefarious ties and or agendas. If you're a politician, you know, is this something that should be very readily available by just doing a little bit of public research on the groups or the organizations? I mean, I guess it's maybe more about, right, not how do you know, but why haven't they done this due diligence, or do they just not care?
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, some of these groups, look at what PTI is. PTI is a group that is very anti-American. This is an organization whose leader applauded when the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan, was very happy with it. Imran Khan has been called Taliban Khan in the past for his support to the Taliban. He wanted to establish an Islamic welfare nation. That's basically what PTI stands for. Beyond its populism and anti-corruption, that's what they want. That is the end goal for a group like PTI. So it is important that lawmakers scrutinize the groups that they're dealing with. But I will say, in this case, it isn't readily. Some groups are well studied and people have written a lot about them. Other groups are not. Groups like the Pakistani American Association of New York. It holds conferences and many different types of events with PTI. They co-host these kind of events. There's another group called the American Pakistani Political Action Committee, which has donated millions to President Biden. But if you look into them, you won't find much about their ties to PTI. There's another group then, though, that's more well-known. I think it's the American Pakistani Physicians. It's called APPNA, Physicians of North America. And this group has been identified as a PTI front. If you look them up, you'll be able to find news reports discussing this. But the Pakistani proxy network isn't very well known, and I think that's the problem. Now, if you look at someone like Turkey, there's been quite a bit written about the group I mentioned earlier, TASC. There's another group called the Turkish Heritage Organization that recently shut down, but was established to be a camouflage lobby here in the United States. There is the Diyanet Center of America, which from Turkey is a is a system of mosques really around the world that are controlled by the state. Here in the U.S., we have a giant building in Washington or in Maryland, Lanham, Maryland. Costs over $100 million to build, but it essentially serves as Erdogan's high court here in the United States. There's bathhouses, there's massive residences, there's luxury hotels, and there's, of course, there's a mosque in the middle of all of it. But this group isn't a registered foreign agent. And somebody, a lawmaker who's invited there, might just think, oh, this is a mosque that Turkish Americans tend to attend. They won't know that the Turkish state goes so far as to write the sermons for what the imam's going to speak about for the Friday sermons. They won't possibly know that imams at the Diyanet in Europe have been used to spy on Turks living abroad who happen to be dissidents or opposed to the regime. But, you know, it depends. And I think they have to look into the leadership of these groups. Many of them are quite incestuous, meaning that if they're part of one group, they might be part of another. And they have to do their homework. But again, all of this could be solved, I think, if we had better fare enforcement, if we had, you know, the federal government look at groups in general that are acting upon foreign interests and label them as such. It would, you know, fix the problem, especially when you're looking at subnational diplomacy, when you're looking at state legislatures or local governments. They don't have the resources, I think, to figure out what's going on. Congress, they have staffers who can look into these things, so there's really no excuse. But at the local level, they're not going to know, and they're going to deal with these people who are really bad faith actors and not know what they're getting into.
Yeah, and I think the other interesting connection here that you mentioned is that, or that has kind of come out from this is, you know, we see collaboration internationally between Pakistan and Turkey increasingly with a shared Islamist agenda and their support of Azerbaijan, for instance, in a conflict with Armenia, or Turkey's attempted influence and issues in the Indian subcontinent vis-a-vis Kashmir, and support for Pakistan. So that connection is also really fascinating that we see it playing out here, but also it's a microcosm of their larger international connections. You know, one thing, because you mentioned that not a lot is known about some of these groups. So you mentioned a couple of names of the groups, you know, some of the proxy organizations of the PTI USA, or that work with the PTI or have common maybe boards or members that serve on boards of both organizations or have been affiliated or been on the boards of PTI groups. Can you mention some of the other groups? I think you mentioned one was a women's organization. One was a physician's one. I know there are others that you have mentioned in your report, maybe some advocacy groups and others. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other groups? So just for, you know, the audience's sake, that we can understand and recognize both the extent of them, but also know how many of them there actually are.
Yes, absolutely. One group I think I should definitely mention is a group called the Pakistani American Law Enforcement Society. These are mostly NYPD police officers who've gotten together to form a group, a professional association, you could call it. But if you go, for instance, to their Facebook page, you'll see that they put a lot of PTI paraphernalia on their websites and social media pages. You know, they'll put hashtag Imran Khan PTI after every post, to the point where Pakistani New Yorkers have even commented and said, hey, I want to support you guys, but why in the world do you have to be so political? Like, why, you know, you're a law enforcement group. You're not there to promote the interests of a foreign political party of any kind. Especially one with waning popularity in some sense. So they've been called out for it before, but it was as recently as, I believe, November. Eric Adams appeared at a Pakistani Law Enforcement Society event where they were handing out awards. So very recently he has met with and associated with this group. There's another group called the American Pakistani Advocacy Group. This organization is a 501c3. It's not a lobby, despite the name kind of sounding like it. Its leader, its head top leader, associates with PTI quite a bit, but he's not an actual card-carrying PTI member. However, almost all of the rest of its staff are senior PTI New York officials, people who have gone out in support of Imran Khan. They have appeared at rallies with life-size posters of Imran Khan. It's almost like a cult of personality in many ways, the way they support the leader, the party, and the leader of PTI cannot be separated at all. But many of these leaders have also donated to Eric Adams. Campaign members of AIPAC have given, I think it amounts to tens of thousands of dollars to Eric Adams campaigns. And they also convinced, they convinced the city of New York to change a street name. You know, sometimes they'll honor a historical figure by temporarily or simultaneously naming a given street something else. And so they created what was called Allama Iqbal Avenue, which is Muhammad Iqbal, which, you know, if you don't know much about him, on the surface, people will say he's like one of the fathers of Pakistan. He was someone who advocated for its creation. He was a poet. So that's how they represented him when they talked to the New York City Council and asked to change the street name. But if you look closely at who Muhammad Iqbal is, he was a very strong Islamist who believed in apostasy laws, who didn't want Hindus to have anything to do, didn't believe that Hindus and Muslims could peacefully coexist together. But now they've renamed a street after this individual. So there are, I suppose you could say, advantages to this relationship that you see with stuff like that, where they, you know, changed the name of a street. They also had a Kashmir Awareness Day in New York, which I don't think would have happened without groups like APAG getting involved. So yeah, those are a couple other groups. I think I mentioned the physicians group. There's APPAC, which is the American Pakistani Political Action Committee. They have a 501c3, a 501c4, and a PAC. So they're loaded and ready to do political influencing. And this group, I guess you could call it APAC, has been quite influential. If you look at the two Muslim Americans who were appointed as federal judges under Eric Adams, well, one has been appointed, Zahi Qureshi, and the other one, Adil Manji, has not yet been appointed, but he was recommended for nomination by the Judiciary Committee very recently, despite his ties to some pretty nasty Islamists. But if you look at both of them, they were handpicked and advocated for by AIPAC. AIPAC is the ones who met with Bob Menendez in New Jersey and said, hey, you need to advance these to the president. And they did just that. And of course, it helps that they've donated quite a bit of money to President Biden as well. So they're electing federal judges in the United States. Or selecting them, I should say. So these are very powerful groups, very, very influential. You know, some of them are more local oriented, some of them more nationally oriented, but they're all there for the same reason, and that is to advance PTI's agenda in the United States.
Yeah, that's quite disturbing. And, you know, as a Hindu American and Indian American, I think knowing the tentacles that these groups have in so many different places in New York City and beyond, it definitely is very concerning in how our policies are going to be shaped that are going to affect us, especially with any reference to like this Kashmir Awareness Day and other things. And, you know, people involved in, you know, are heavily into the police department and other places that are advancing purely political agendas and ideological agendas, Islamist agendas. So that is definitely concerning. I mean, just want to kind of finish up with a couple of final questions. Have you, in the process of putting together your report, did you reach out to Mayor Eric Adams' office with questions? And did you receive any? If so, did you receive any responses from them?
Yeah, we definitely reached out to Eric Adams and tried to get a response. We heard nothing from him. They've been pretty tight-lipped with all media when it comes to some of his campaign activities and foreign influence, potential foreign influence targeting his office. So yeah, unfortunately, we didn't hear from him. You know, also gave press inquiries to, for instance, Atiyah Shinaz, who's his administration member, who's in charge of PASWO. Didn't hear anything back from her. There is an election board in New York, and they didn't want to comment. However, they were very interested in our findings and were willing to take a look at them. And that is the same with the Manhattan District Attorney. They were at least able to listen and see what we had. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to develop into anything at this stage, but it's good to know that there's at least that interest there. You know, I don't think it's in his interest to comment. I don't think I would as well either, because he wants this story to remain small. He wants it to not blow up. And were the mayor's office to comment, it would make it a bigger news story in one way or another. So he's protecting his own political interests in that regard.
As any politician, right. What unfortunately. But kind of as we conclude the conversation, where do we go from here? What would you, I know you referenced a few steps that need to be taken in terms of enforcement and regulation, but you can maybe just lay out, where do you see the most important areas of concern that really need to be addressed to stem this or stop this type of foreign influence? Especially in the context of what we've seen with the PTI and the Pakistani Islamists.
Sure, yeah, I think it comes down to reform. We need to reform the nonprofit sector. We need to reform FARA and the way we monitor and register potential foreign agents here in the United States. And we need to reform our elections. You know, there's certain loopholes that allow foreign influence in American elections. For instance, the use of credit cards used that are from overseas. You know, someone can use a credit card whose address traces back to Pakistan, for instance, and make a donation here in the United States. These are areas where, in all three of these cases, where people have fought for reform for many years, and it's very difficult to bring change. People want to protect the status quo, per se. So as long as the federal government and local governments aren't willing to make those necessary changes, I think we need to vote people out of office who are willing to consort with foreign, especially foreign Islamists here in the United States. It comes down to organizing against them, exposing them for these kind of relationships, and convincing the public that these aren't the kind of people you want elected.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners, I would really encourage you to go and read the report yourself. NYC Mayor Eric Adams panders to Pakistani political cult, and it's on the Focus on Western Islamism website. And I believe the address for that is islamism.news. And you can search for it there. It is a really well done report. And as all his colleagues at Middle East Forum have done and always do, they write very methodical research fact-based reports. So I'd encourage you to read that and other reports there, including by Sam Westrup, who we've had on the podcast in the past. Ben, I want to really thank you for your time today. I really appreciate your work on this issue and bringing it to light. I think something that is much needed. And unfortunately, an underreported issue. So thank you again. And it's been a pleasure talking with you. And hopefully we can have you on the podcast again in the future.
Thank you. And thanks for having me, Samir.
Thank you. And thank you all again. And please do continue to follow us at IndoAmerican.org and check out all our podcasts on a range of subjects. Thank you and namaste.
Well, that's it for this episode of That's So Hindu. If you enjoyed it, please take a minute and leave us a nice 5-star review. It's how you can help the show get discovered by more listeners. You can help ensure that more of these get made by making a donation to HAF at IndoAmerican.org/donate. Thanks again for listening.